Good morning, church. Well, we got songs to sing here this morning, and we are in church. So let's stand, let's open up in prayer, and let us get ready to praise the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you once again now that as we have gathered together in your house here to praise and lift up your name, to give the devil a headache, but most importantly, to praise you. And Father God, when it comes to this weapon of choice, Father, we want to choose this morning to give you our very, very best, not leftovers. So Father, we're just going to come to you now in spirit and in truth. And we thank you once again for simply meeting us here. In Jesus' name, amen.
I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Way beyond the blue. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Way beyond the blue. I took Jesus as my Savior, you take him too. I took Jesus as my Savior, you take him too. I took Jesus as my Savior, you take him too. While he's calling you, I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Way beyond the blue. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Way beyond the blue. I took Jesus as my Savior, you take him too. I took Jesus as my Savior, you take him too. I took Jesus as my Savior, you take him too. While he's calling you, I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Way beyond the blue.
Amen.
For the Lord, he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. For the Lord, he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. For the Lord, he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. For the Lord, he is good. Mercy endures. For the Lord, he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. For the Lord, he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. For the Lord, he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. For the Lord, he is good. And his mercy endureth forever. For the Lord, he is good. And his mercy endureth forever. For the Lord, he is good. And forever his mercy endures.
Amen.
I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets those captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, O well, within my soul. Spring up, O well, and make me whole. Spring up, O well, and give to me that life abundantly. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets those captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, O well, within my soul. Spring up, O well, and make me whole. Spring up, O well, and give to me that life abundantly. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, O well, within my soul. Spring up, O well, and make me whole. Spring up, O well, and give to me that life abundantly.
Is that true for you?
Amen.
And keeps me, and he's the one I'm waiting for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus I love him more and more. And keeps me, and he's the one I'm waiting for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus I love him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and he's the one I'm waiting for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Saves and keeps me, and he's the one I'm waiting for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before.
Hallelujah.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in, glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name. the blood above. Glory to His name. O precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Fountain so rich and sweet, as I sigh for soul at the Savior's feet, plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name.
Thank you.
complete as I sit at your feet. Sweet Spirit, rule over my soul. Rule over my soul. Rule over my soul. Sweet Spirit, rule over my soul. My rest is complete as I sit at your feet. Sweet Spirit, rule over my soul. Rule over my soul. Rule over my soul. Sweet Spirit, rule over my soul. My rest is complete as I sit at your feet. Sweet Spirit, rule over my soul. Rule over my soul. Rule over my soul. Sweet Spirit, rule over my soul. My rest is as I sit at your feet. Sweet Spirit, rule over my soul.
You know, there's a bumper sticker that says, God is my co-pilot. Now, that is not compatible with this song, because when we're singing, rule over my soul, we're not saying co-rule. You're saying, take complete control. Amen. Full surrender. Rule over my soul. Let's sing that one more time.
Rule over my soul. Rule over my soul. Sweet Spirit, rule over my soul. My rest is sit at your feet. Sweet Spirit, rule over my soul. Rule over my soul. Rule over my soul. Sweet Spirit, rule over my soul. I sit at your feet, sweet Spirit, rule over my soul.
Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean, renew a right spirit within me. from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Set my spirit free, that I may worship thee. Set my spirit free, that I may praise thy name. Let all bondage go, let deliverance flow. Set my spirit free, to worship thee. Set my spirit free, that I may worship thee. Set my spirit free, that I may praise thy name. Let all bondage go, and let deliverance flow. Set my spirit free to worship thee. Set my spirit free, that I may worship thee. Set my spirit free, that I may praise thy name. Let all bondage go, and let deliverance flow. Set my spirit free to worship thee. Set my spirit free, that I may worship thee. Set my spirit free, that I may praise thy name. Let all bondage go, and let deliverance flow. Set my spirit free to worship thee.
Amen.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single love that before thy throne I stand. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Indeed.
Draw us nearer and nearer, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus. We want to draw nigh unto you that you may draw nigh unto us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With our hands lifted up, with a mouth full of praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, we will bless thee, O Lord. We will bless thee, O Lord. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father. We praise you, Lord, for the opportunity that you have given us. Oh, that we can come into your presence with singing and enter your gates with thanksgiving and to your courts with praise. And declare that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for moving in the midst of us. Thank you, Lord, for reviving us again. Thank you for a miracle in this body of believers. We pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for a glorious day today, for a day of victory and a day of celebration. Oh, we love you, Lord. We appreciate you. We thank you for the work that you have planned for this body of believers. We pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. In Ephesians 5:14, it says, "Awake, thou that sleepeth, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Amen. And Christ shall give thee light. "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fool, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil." Hallelujah. For the days are evil. "But be ye not drunk with wine, but filled with the Spirit, speaking with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Anoint the time, and now is high time to awake out of thy sleep. Oh, for thy salvation is nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Hallelujah. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, or chambering or wantonness, or envy or strife, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And we want to thank you for awakening us, Lord, for reviving us, for doing a work in each and every one of us today. We pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for a glorious day today. Thank you for the anointing upon the pastor as he will bring the message to us. Give him the freedom to preach. Give him joy and peace in his heart and clarity of mind. And let the word proceed out with power, we pray, and pierce us like a two-edged sword, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for a glorious day today. As we are about to receive this offering, you told us, bring your tithes into the storehouse, that it will be meat in my house. And prove me herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I do not open you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that it may not be enough room to receive it. And Lord, we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, that you stand good in your promises. Oh, what you promise, you are also able to perform. And thank you, Father, that we can give to the work of the Lord today. Thank you, Father, for blessing the finances of this church. Thank you for touching people all around the world to, Lord, to support this ministry. We pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, that you are the provider. You are the Jehovah Jireh. You are the God that supplies all our needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And we rest in you and we rely upon you. And our confidence is in you. And we want to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor today. And pray this prayer in Jesus' precious and mighty name. And all God's children said, Amen.
Okay, good morning, everybody. I'm going to take a couple testimonies. Boy, I got a lot of testimonies today. There's been a lot of activity in my life. But first, I want to read this. It's also, I read out of the book of Nehemiah last week. I'm going to read out of Nehemiah again, chapter 13 this time. Last week, I read Nehemiah probably two or three times. And I think it's good, solid book. Well, I believe the whole book is solid. So, I mean the book of the Bible. Anyway, it talks about in here some things, and everybody has to come to terms with it themselves, you know what I mean? I can't come to terms with it for other people. So, anyway, you know, they built the wall in this time in Jerusalem, and they had a big celebration too. And they had the singers out there. So, how important were the singers to be? Yeah, I think very, very important. Yeah. And there was, I think it says porters. Is that right? Do you know? Or stewards? Or I don't really understand what those guys are, but I'm gonna do a little more digging. But they were with the singers, and if you read it, you'll know what I'm talking about. Anyway, in chapter 13, it says, "On that day, they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit, our God turned the curse into a blessing." Is God able to turn a curse into a blessing? I think so. "Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude." There's some pretty heavy stuff in this chapter. "And before this, Eliashib the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah. And he had prepared for him a great chamber, where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense, and the vessels, and the tithes of the corn, and the new wine, and the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites, and the singers, and the porters." That's the word I was looking for, the porters. I don't quite understand what a porter is yet. "And the offerings of the priests. But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king." So he was gone for a while, then he came back. "And I came to Jerusalem and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah, in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me sore, therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber." This guy didn't mess around, man. He just took all his stuff and threw it right out in the street. I like that kind of guy. "Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers, and thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God, with the meat offering and the frankincense. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, for the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled every one to his field. Then contended I with the rulers and said, 'Why is the house of God forsaken? and I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn and the new wine and the oil unto the treasuries. And I made treasurers over the treasuries, Shelemiah the priest and Zadok the scribe, and of the Levites, Pedaiah, and next to him was Hanan, the son of Zakur, the son of Mattaniah. For they were counted faithful, and their office was to distribute unto their brethren. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. I kind of smile when I see that verse number 14. And you see this throughout the book of Nehemiah, and he says, remember me, God, for the things that I'm doing. In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and lading asses, and also wines, grapes and figs and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And it came to pass, when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut, and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants said I at the gates that there should be no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. He wouldn't let them in, so they hung out outside. Then I testified against them and said unto them, why lodge ye about the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth, they came no more on the Sabbath. Nehemiah, he didn't mess around, huh? He said, if I see you here again, I'm coming down and going to deal with you. Anyway, I'm going to stop there. But the rest of Nehemiah, it's beautiful. If you get a chance, you should read it. And a few words that were spoken about me this week from relatives. You know how relatives are sometimes, right? And the word was asked, is your husband still that radical Christian, going to that radical church? And she said, yes, he is, and I'm behind him. So, but boy, we have a reputation, I guess. And I said to her, all we're trying to do is, you know, abide by this book here and do what's in it, and let the chips fall where they may. One good thing that happened to me this week, among many, is we went out to plaster a school that we were working on. And we hadn't used our pump in probably a good 2 years. And really didn't have much time to go through it. Had to get it out there and get it going. And if you ever deal with a plastering pump, there can be a lot of problems. Packs in the hose and rock pockets and all kinds of problems. So on that morning, I could tell that there was a fear going on, you know, with some of the crew thinking, well, maybe we're going to have a bad day out there. And I told my son, I said, we don't operate in fear. We operate in faith. So go out there and put the mud on the wall. And it will be good. So I went out that morning and I walked the perimeter of that job and said a prayer and asked God to bless it. And the inspector was giving us a real hard time and didn't want to pass the job where we could put the mud on the wall. And so I prayed over that situation. He made us put in more screws and nails like overkill, but we got past. And you know what? They pumped mud out for 12 hours and got it done. Or not complete. I mean, they got done everything we set out to do. And we had a few rocks come through the hose, but God blessed us. And so the next morning, of course, throughout the day, we're giving God praise. I am. And thanking Him for that, you know. And on Friday morning, that was on Thursday. On Friday morning, I went to a Bible study. And I talked to an old guy who's been a friend of the family for 30-something years. And we were just fellowshipping. And he told me about he was working on his car, and he had this real tiny spring that he had dropped it in the gravel. And, I mean, very, very small. Of course, for me at 51 years old, if I drop a little spring, I got to get my glasses and a flashlight, you know. And this guy's almost 80, and he's still working on his car. But you know what? He looked for that spring, and he didn't find it. And he prayed and asked God to find that spring, and he found that spring in that gravel. And so he was praising the Lord, saying how wonderful it is that God helps you with those little things. So I had another situation where I was on a different school, and the Plasterers Union, I'm not a union contractor. I don't even know how those guys can be union contractors, but every now and then they'll call me and harass me and threaten me and stuff like that. So I got a call about a week ago, and he said, you're trying to weasel your way into these public works jobs, and you better make sure you got this right and that right. And I told him, we're not weaseling our way in anywhere. We have the right to bid on public jobs. And next time you call me, you better have a better attitude. And then that was that. He hung up. Well, I was on the job personally in Corning, and he sent his compliance officer out there. And we deal with inspectors and all kinds of people all the time. So this guy pulls up on the job, and we're having a little lunch break, and he comes over. I don't think he's expecting to find me on the job, but I believe it just worked out that way. God put it together that way. So he says, well, I'm the compliance officer, and I want to make sure that you have everything under proper, the way you're supposed to do it. I said, well, I think we do. My son sends in the right forms, and I said, I don't like the way your buddy talks to me on the phone. Well, I've heard that before, you know, I'm not that way. And he says, matter of fact, I'm a Christian. And I said, well, so am I. I said, are you kind of Christian that actually reads the Bible, or are you a Christian in name only? Oh no, I read the Bible. So we fellowshipped over the Bible the next 2 hours, and I said, thanks for getting me out of work, because I didn't really want to put the mud on that wall over there. And he was sent to give us a hard time, but he ended up giving me a hug. And that's the hand of the Lord. So I have to, he told me I need to call this guy and do it today. Well, I didn't. But I am going to make sure that I have all my stuff the way it's supposed to be. But I'm not going to be strong-armed by the union. You know, they're trying to force you to join the union. And I'm going to go God's way. That's what I told the guy. I'm going to do the jobs God has for me to do, union or not union. And we ended up parting on real good terms. So it is nice to have that bond between brothers. No matter where you go, when you got a brother in Christ, immediately there's a bond, you know, and it's beautiful. So I was able to be blessed by that. Okay, that's all my testimonies that I can think of right now. Bob?
I do have a testimony, rather short. You know, Thomas, every time you give a testimony, I always have a piggyback thing that goes along with yours, but not today. I was in construction, too, and I know exactly what that's like. I had a crew of all black guys except me. It was dangerous, scary, terrifying work sometimes. We shagged up ladders way high and hung by one hand and put bolts in and ran cranes and lifted tons and tons of steel. And I was thinking, when you said that, it's not exactly a Christian story, but it is, because do unto others, right, as you'd have them do unto you. Pulled on a job in Fresno. Now, that meant I had two trucks loaded and had five crew guys driven all the way from Burlingame. It was already out $1,500 by the time I got there. And they did not have the steel right. We specified exactly where the steel cages had to be so our boat holes would fit. Otherwise, with steel forms, you can't drill another hole. Well, they didn't have that finished, nor did they have the steel workers completely off the job before we came in, which was part of the contract. And I soon perceived that they were giving us a bad time because there was racial animosity. And my guys were all in the carpenters union and so forth and so on. So I said to him, I'm pulling off the job due to the contract. He said, you can't do that. I said, yes, I can. And I proceeded to start doing that, button the crane up and so forth and so on. So my foreman, Bill, black guy, one of the best friends I ever had, he said, Bob, wait a minute. Let's kill him with kindness. He said, we put up with this stuff all the time. So I said, not with me, you don't. He said, no, no. Watch. So we proceeded to just outdo them, outgive them. They had pallets they had to move by hand. We said, wait a minute. We'd pull the crane over there, hooked it up, moved it for them all day long. Well, the upshot was, a couple months later, we got another contract from that job. And when we pulled on there, they loved us. They had everything exactly right. Hey, boy, they didn't like shagging up those ladders. Most of the carpenters were getting up there near retirement. And that's scary work to go up 25, 30 feet. So forth and so on. So it just reminded me of that story when Bill said, let's kill them with kindness. And in effect, that was a Christian thing to do, and it worked too. But my testimony is this. You know, Pastor Terrell has been rather, what would you say, forceful the last couple of weeks? That would probably sum it up. And so in sheer terror that he would call on us to see if we could raise our hand that we did our homework, we did our homework twice. And the other night I was talking was on Skype with my friend Arlene in Argentina. I've known her 12 years, and we've walked all the way through. She used to be in the Israel thing, and we got her out of that. But she was still unclear on the covenants, and that's exactly what John has been showing. It's only been two covenants, basically, one with man and one God with himself, the way John does it. God, man, no, the engineers talk like it. Anyway, using that sermon, we walked Arlene through this, and she came around to the position. What she said to me, which as a debater, I love when somebody does that, he said, I don't want to hear anything more from preachers. I've heard preachers all my life. I want to hear what you think. So I said to her, how did you develop the Christian knowledge that you have now except from preachers? She said, well, that's true. But what I want to do now is I want to read it myself and have it convict me. I said, well, that's the right attitude, because we know the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword and so forth. It's the Word that convicts. But she said, well, you make a good point. And I said, you watch Pastor Terrell again, and you'll see exactly what it means to understand the covenants. And so she's done so. And so thank you, Don. We kind of knew that, but you made it crystal clear, as only an engineer slash preacher can do, right, guys? Because he's talked very logical. Love this part, God, man, you know, the way you did that. Well, anyway, that's my testimony. We're still working on the San Francisco thing, and we have to leave tonight, I guess, and go down there again. So we continue to ask you in prayers. And Nehemiah, absolutely, my kind of guy. My kind of guy, exactly. Because remember, it's not how many, it's who. Right.
Praise the Lord and good morning. Are we happy today? First of all, I want to say a big thank you to all the people that helped us out financially this last week. And we really appreciate it. And it helped us out to stay afloat. So God simply pumped some water out, the boat is still afloat. So we praise God for that. We got many good things here today. So we want to remember to pray for Michael and Luba Blair. So I didn't get a paper on that. I wouldn't say the receipt. So remind me on that particular thing. I want to begin to read two letters from prisoners that have come into our ministry. And this one here is from Charles Smith. Now, I do not know where he's located. And he writes this, all glory to God. I awoke this morning with happy feelings of joy. God is great, and it's pleasing to know the love that he has for me and many others who worship him. The world we live in will always endure some sort of change through its existence. But what will never change is God's overwhelming love for us. Even when we are at our lowest, his presence is always near. I have witnessed the changes Christ has made in the lives of many of the inmates here at Lawrence Correctional Center. Every day I'm seeing inmates gathering in small groups and praising our Lord and Savior. The chapel attendance is beginning to grow also. Some people will not need to pray until they are in the rapture. Only a fool would take those type of chances. God's an open door which invites all to worship in the name of the Lord. All we have to do is to believe in the Word, believe in Him, trust in Him, and carry out His work. Beautiful letter from a prisoner. And when you think about it, you know, we are still free. And so we ought to be praising God. Now this one here is another prisoner, and he writes, I first contacted Pastor John and Charles in May 2005. I have not found another ministry in the past 11 years of my incarceration that covers this type of material as in-depth and precise. I have the equivalent of an associate degree in religious education, have studied occult sciences, Satanism, witchcraft, ceremony and magic, Freemasonry, Rosicrucianism, and Theosophy since 1999. I had a mentor while in Dallas County Jail while waiting for my case to make it to a trial. He was a knowledge and scholarly fellow who had been involved in ministry for 24 years. I was only a Christian, having accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior at the age of 15 while attending a Baptist church in Dallas. I was also baptized, but being so young, I soon fell away and lived in a backslidden state at the meeting of my above-mentioned mentor. I then dedicated my life to Christ and became called to the ministry myself. Thus, I do have a Bible. Thank you for asking. I've been searching scriptures diligently. I am in solitary confinement since late 2003 and spend much time studying and doing as much research as possible. Unfortunately, I have no contact with my family or friends who will be able to provide proper study aids. I do desire a study Bible. If you could possibly assist me in obtaining a serious annotated study Bible of Pastor Terrell's recommendation, or know of someone who could, please do not hesitate to do so at your soonest possible convenience, as we greatly appreciate it. And his name is Paul D. Glenn. Now, you know, we never know why a person is in prison. And sometimes we say, well, you know, people deserve to be in prison. Well, some do. But let me tell you this, if I want to think about this. Have you ever really got angry at one time or the other, and you had murder in your heart, and it was only God's grace you didn't kill anyone? Sometimes, you know, we have done things with a car, whatever it is, and so we really should think about this. Thank you, Lord, that I am not in a prison. Now, someday, because we are Christians, we might end up in a prison. And when we do, can we praise God if we are in solitary confinement? So with this, I want to read another letter. This is a good one. This is from Germany. And this is Peter Moores, M-O-O-R-E-S, Moores or Morris. And I talked to him yesterday, last night, and he said, send a greeting to the church. I said, you can do better than that. I said, write me an email and I'll read it. Well, he was up, apparently it was late, but here it is. And he got a great story. Greetings to you all from Germany. I never knew that when I bought this Christian Dynamics number 2, that I would be in contact with John Terrell. He calls me, he emails me, he even talks to my wife. Now, my wife answered the phone one time when he called, so she also talked to his wife and himself. Now, the point is this, in the late 70s, 1978 to 79, as a teenager, I never knew that God had a plan for my life. I was very sick of living. At the same time, was a young Swedish man was making cassettes on the power of the spoken word. Now, he bought this series that had the power of spoken word. And I told him, I said, you know, when you were a teenager, I recorded that, and God knew in 1979 and in 2010 you would hear it. He was just on fire. I mean, he could make all the Southern Baptist singers kick it up a gear or two. This guy's British now. In those days, God was not working in my life. That is all changed now. What God is saying to me all these years later is this. I'm going to take your misery and make you a living testimony. Doubt, worry, regret, hate, and this, it's a long list. It's amazing how Satan makes people feel unique or special when you have worry, regret, hate, and bitterness. Let me tell you this, if you are a spiritual bum, there are billions of them. Going nowhere, lots of entertainment and activities. And this is read King James Version, Hebrews 11:1. All of you sitting in this church building, he's talking to us now, or watching on the web, God loves you. He sent his only son, Jesus, to die for you, and by the resurrection power, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. We are the gospel. We have the peace of the hearts. We can all choose right now to begin again to live a more intelligent life. Study the outlines so that you can be open to the Word of God. Let the oil flow and fire burn. None of us are meant to be lukewarm worms. Stand up for Jesus. Praise and worship the Father, the Provider. Now I want to tell you a love story. How many of you would rather a person be involved in a love story? Human beings are funny creatures, in many ways like thinking. In order to get what I want from you, I have to give you what I think you want from me. It's a very long story, but there's no love in it. The truth in love does exist. It breaks us and makes us whole. God sees the heart, and the good news, it is not too late. Today is a day of salvation through the power of the spoken word. Shout it out louder and louder. I cannot hear it. And Michael Burns, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. He's repeating that continually. Now, every morning he reads my never again list. Now, those of you that have Christian Dynamics number 2, I had a my never list where you list all the things you're not going to do. He does it every morning. The glory be to God. Remember this the next time you catch yourself acting odd. Ask, am I trying to be God? Let us humble ourselves before the Lord. We are pilgrims on a journey. It's a daily battle for sure. The enemy is cunning and swift to attack. However, through prayer and knowledge of the word, we can cut out the nonsense with a sharp two-edged sword. 1 John 1-10. You are seated there right now. Be receptive. You are at the banquet. Dig deep. Let the power of the message get into your hearts. May God richly bless you all. Loving Christ Jesus, Peter Morse. Now, here's a guy that could not barely read and write just a little while ago. And he's excited. He's going to go to Belgium, get delivered shortly. And so we praise God for that. We have a prayer request here from Al and Peg Norberg. They have a daughter, and her adopted son has been threatening. So we're going to pray against that, that this man would stop threatening and not hurt his mother. Now we got a prayer request here from Tom Spargo. And I got 3 requests. And he says this, I need prayer. First prayer is I'm being attacked at work, meaning they are cracking down on me, nitpicking at me and watching over me. Also, the company is non-accommodating on everything I asked my needs. So you need prayer to go up the door for management position in another company. And then we have a prayer request here, that God removes the spiritual mental block that has been inside of me for many years so I can attract women to me and restore my reputation instead of having women being repelled by me. So he wants that. So we're going to pray for him. He's about a little bit over 50 and needs to get married. It's about time. This is a prayer request that came in from Bob Cadel. And I want to share the important prayer request with our Facebook friends and family. Jason Mahaffey, a fourth grader at school, was involved with fire and gas and explosion today. Jason had a third-degree burns in his face. He's in a lot of pain. The skin is peeling off his face. He's in Spartanburg. This is in Tennessee. They're trying to work it out for him to fly to Augusta. And the burn center, there's going to pray for that man. Okay, let's talk about the oil. Despite the fact that the oil inventories are high, the World Bank decided to press the price of oil up. They were working hard to push it over $80 per barrel. But at the end of the week, prices fell slightly, and oil ended up at 78.98. It rose this week with $2.94 per barrel. More power is needed that Gulf intervened and destroyed their speculation. And then finally, we want to thank all the people who rallied last week to help us out with the finances. By Tuesday, we had paid $2,000 on the rent for our church building. There is $1,000 more to go on the rent. The electric and telephone bills at the production center were paid on Monday last week. And we were able to pay some other bills, including a credit card payment and on the webcast equipment. 1 week's salary was paid out to Lois Amaker, and we're now behind on 2 weeks' pay for her. No salary was paid out to the pastor. There was not enough funds left when these urgent bills had to be paid. So let's pray today that God will have a great offering here today, and that there will be some salary for myself. So those of you who'd like to come and pray, this is the time to come up here. And we're going to do some praying right now.
Father, we thank you so much for Charles Smith, who is a prisoner, but who is spreading sunshine and God's love among the inmates. And we thank you that he is full of joy and able to witness that the joy comes from you. And we pray for him that you would strengthen him with all might in his inner man, and that he would grow spiritually and in his understanding of the word and his ministry, and that he would also produce fruit of the Spirit. And we pray for other people in the prison to be led to him that need this, that are hungry for the word of God.
Father God, thank you for this day, and I want to lift up Peter Morris to you. By his letter, sounds like he's doing fine, but you know what his needs are. I don't know. I thank you, Father, for meeting all his needs, and I thank you, Lord, that you will continue to enrich him as he studies the Bible, studies the outlines, and the material that he's studying, Lord. I thank you that he would just be able to dig deeper and go higher, Lord. And we thank you for that. I thank you for meeting all his physical needs and spiritual needs, Lord. And just fill him with your joy and let him have a good time serving you, Lord, and being a light to the world around him. And I thank you for the letter that he sent to also encourage us. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And this prayer is for Al Norberg and Peg, his wife. Al has had some eye problems, and his vision has been deteriorating. And so I pray, Jesus, that you will take care of his eyesight. I pray, Jesus, that you will have mercy upon him. Have mercy upon this man, Jesus. He belongs to you. And just, I pray that you will heal his eyes so that his vision will not get any worse, but he will have his eyesight so he can see where he's going and everything else. And I also pray for he has a problem with his balance, and I pray, Jesus, that you will take care of that too for him. And his wife Peg has ringing in her ears, and I pray, Jesus, that you will take care of that ringing also. I don't know why it's ringing in her ears, only you know, but I pray, Jesus, that you will have mercy upon her also, in the name of Jesus.
And Father God, I just lift up these prayer requests of Tom Spargo that have already been laid out on the altar for you. And I ask, first of all, that you would instill in him a faith for the things of God, for the works of God, so that he could stand firm in you, and that he would not be looking at the circumstances that are around him, but that he would rely on you, and that in his time of desperation, for whatever whatever his needs are in addition to these, that he would just fall upon his knees and cry out to you, and that he would know that you are his true source of for everything. And I just pray that you would enable him to stop focusing on the situation, the circumstances, but that he would, again, that he would seek your glory, that he would seek you, that he would seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and all of these things that he's in desire and need of would be the result. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time that we're able to come together here in church and to be able to lift our voices up to you, Father God, and stand here and watch you answer prayers, Father. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that the price of oil is going pretty high, and I think it's time that, God, you intervene and you lower it down to $60 a barrel, Lord God. And I pray that you will take care of this situation, Lord God, and that you will lower the prices. You are in charge. And I, for one, have faith that you will take care of business, Lord God. And we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I thank you, Peter Morse, for that, what you said. I thank you for your letter that you sent. And it's very uplifting, and I praise God for you. And thank you in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, we lift up to you Paul Glenn right now. We lift him up to the throne room. And we pray, O Lord, that your perfect will be done in that man's life. We command any spirits that over his studies, over Freemasonry and occultism and Satanism and all this, we command the spirit, any unclean spirit that came upon him in the name of Jesus, we command you right now to set this man free in the name of Jesus. All those unclean spirits, all spirits of darkness, we command you right now in the name of Jesus to loose Paul Glenn in the name of Jesus, and command you to be bound, gagged, chained, taken to prison by God's holy angels. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that supernaturally can move and set this man free completely. And we pray, O Lord, that you lead him and guide him, give him opportunities in the prison, that he will preach the gospel there, Lord, and he will be a light shining in that prison, we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for using him in such a mighty way. And your name be glorified, O Lord, through Paul Glenn. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And Father God, we bring Jason Mahaffey before you. We don't know circumstances, but we know he's hurting. If he's not saved, we pray for him to accept Jesus into his heart. Jesus Christ can heal you, Jason. He died on the cross for that healing and other things. And we thank you and praise you, Lord, that Jason will be able to go to Augusta, to the burn center, and Jesus will use the doctors there to heal him totally, completely. We thank you and praise you, Father God, for this young man to have a ministry for Jesus Christ after he's totally healed. And we ask you, Jesus, to do that wherever he is, wherever he goes. Give him the total, complete healing of Jesus. And we speak, let there be peace in the house where he is. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Father, before we begin to petition you here today, I want to praise you. The Father, we put up our prayers last week of what our needs were, and we saw them answered in a mighty way. So, Father, we thank you for the provision that you laid out for us, that, again, it was just this supply drop that you had sitting in front of us. We couldn't see it, but you knew it was there all along. And so, Father, we thank you for building our faith that we can praise you on both sides of a miracle. And so, Father, again, when it comes to the finances, that you know that there's constant needs that don't let up. And you know what we need when it comes to bills and to salaries and so forth. And so, again, Father, we ask that you would just simply provide for this. That we're not sitting here, you know, running things that are lavish and just outlandish and just wasting money. But, Father, you know that we have real needs. And so, Father, again, we thank you ahead of time for just meeting them. And that next week we will again be able to stand up here and to praise you for taking care of us and to say that, you know what, we are Christians and our God does take care of us. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father God, I lift up Michael and Luba Blair to you, Lord. They were with us before. We love them. We cherish them. Excuse me. And their children. And Father, we ask that you guide them as they come back to us in your timing, whatever that is. And Lord, that you what?
They're coming next week.
Thank you, Lord. And Father, as they come, we ask you to prepare the way for them. We ask that you provide their needs, that you provide an income for them, that you provide a housing for them, that you provide food for them and clothing for the children. And Lord, that you have everything all ready for them. And we welcome them back, not only because we love them and they belong to us, but because they have great abilities too that can be contributed to the work of the church, Lord God, as we well know their capabilities. Father, we ask you to bless them and keep their hearts pure towards you and keep and let the children be a blessing to them and let the children be raised to love you, Lord Jesus, as we know that's how they would do it. Father, we ask you to guide them, keep them, and provide for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you right now that you heard these prayers be spoken here today. We pray for this man in Montana, Pamela's adopted son. Father God, has been out of control. Father God, you will simply subdue him, convict him of his sins. He shall not be able to hurt his mother or father, but that, Lord, he will come to Christ. We thank you that you will hear this prayer. Thank you now, Father God, for everything that you have spoken to us today through letters, testimonies, and we give you great praise that our prayers now, being spoken or on the altar, burning, will be answered. And we thank you for that now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Outlines handed out.